Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 441 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Twillies night. And we're doing it live too. I mean, our wonderful Patreon members, our patrons, if you will, have the ability to watch this one live. And it's a little bit of a test pilot as well in the respect that if this works flawlessly, which it hasn't been completely flawless. However, you know, we will go back to the drawing board and tweak some settings and everything before the next time we do this and see if we can get it working perfectly. But if we can, then, you know, going forward, there's no reason why we can't have the cameras running while we're recording episodes ordinarily. Obviously, we'd start recording after our first 20-minute conversation that we have where things get way too fucking spicy. But
correct.
But yeah, it looks like it's something that we should be able to offer going forward. So it's exciting. Didn't take us too long to get it figured out last night. Stepdad and myself, and yeah, it's going well now. What I need to do is I need to get one of those new MacBooks. Did you see the new MacBooks revealed yesterday or the day before?
The pros.
The fucking just. I'll tell you, I've never wanted anything more, but it's right at the start of my buying cycle for Macs, so like I've got years before I'll go buy another one, but I did price up one of the Macs, whatever the Macs chip ones were, and they're pretty fucking expensive. They're certainly more than I've ever paid for an iMac. And I was, you know, you're going over $5,000 when you start to add all the Pro chip and everything in there, but or the Macs one or whatever it was.
We got that sweet hookup.
Yeah, we do. I mean, it is great to get like some off, and I mean, when you're paying $5,700 for a laptop, I mean that does work out to be quite a substantial, multi hundreds of dollars discount. But it's still fucking $5,000 for a laptop. So, now let's get this shit going. Now, how it's going to work this evening? Obviously, we reveal the winners of the 2021, our 12th annual Twilly Awards, the most prestigious rugby league awards in the world, as you all know. But before that, we'll hit some news. There's been a couple of news articles this week that we should talk about, and it's all bad behavior, you know, pretty much. But, you know, it's a couple of huge stories, but I'll save the biggest one till the end. First one that just came out this afternoon, not long before we started recording, actually. Tom Starling has been arrested following an incident near a bar. Same bar he ran into trouble with the coppers last year as well, and he was charged following an alleged altercation over the weekend and at a bar at the Central Coast, and they were refused entry from a bouncer, and the group became agitated and threatened the man several times. So doesn't sound like there's a lot in it, but when the Raiders are trying to, you know, we've been talking about them trying to flick Josh Hodgson, now they're like, well, maybe we can't flick him, because what's going to happen with this loose cunt that we're going to be left with afterwards? Don't want to do a Manly with like a fucking flicking appy and then get stabby McStavison. Exact same situation. He was on the verge of signing a rich new deal at the Raiders apparently, and now who knows what the implications are.
Now he's going to need it to post bail.
I think he'll still get his rich deal. However, perhaps the whole business about letting Hodgson walk with a year on his contract, maybe they might just want to camp him out for that year just to see what happens and if they can, you know, train the young fella to behave himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, Central Coast people, what are you going to do? Now, more bad behaviour. The Panthers have stood down Tyrone May and he and Nathan Cleary and Stephen Crichton were issued with breach notices by the NRL for their post-grand final celebrations. So May is stood down from all club-related duties and appearances until further notice. And in regards
that further notice being the moment where he has been shipped out or his contract torn up or otherwise
they got a couple of small fines and, you know, blah, blah. You know, they got fines that were probably commensurate with the amount of, you know, what actually they did. I mean, it was nothing fines for, you know, pretty much nothing sort of, you know, instance. I mean, Tyrone May obviously gets the worst ones because, you know, he's jumping on the, you know, on the Instagram lives with Kick Howard, you know, dropping N bombs, you know, like it's Django Unchained.
Yeah.
But the thing is, yeah, like standing him down until further notice, it doesn't matter how short or how far that further notice line in the sand is, it's just still a win for Penrith. Like, it's a win for them on field. Stand him down till fucking 2025. Yeah.
Stand him down until his contract's up.
That is the correct take in this situation.
Exactly.
Yeah, not even fucking Ivan's daughter can save you now, you fucking Gronk.
I think she probably can, though. That's the sad thing. Because honestly, with all the, you know, with all the rat bags and boot and sluts and everything else that he has proceeded to carry on with over the last 2 years, you guys don't have daughters, but you've got kids. Like, you're going to let... Is Jackson going to let a degenerate like that date his sister? And are you going to let a degenerate like that date your daughter?
No.
Like, under no fucking circumstances. Like, none.
Yeah.
None. Yep. And especially if he's like best mates with Nathan, then that's, you know, there's plenty of situations where you can say to a mate, no. Nah.
Mate, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that. If he's the best mate, he's not going to proceed any further. Although he saw an opportunity, he took it, and I guess he's cemented himself in the in the playing group for the Penrith Panthers. For his, until he does something, until he falls, yeah, relapses way
what,
back. And
if now we know, if now we know what it took for fucking Tyrone May to keep his spot, can you imagine what it took Darius to get that last 2 years at the Broncos?
Did you see what happened yesterday? I think it was with Joey Leilua. On Instagram.
Yes, I did.
Talking about Michael Maguire. And the Tigers offered Joey a train and trial contract worth $1,000 per week.
Did they really, though?
And he was previously earning around $850,000 per year, meaning that's a $800,000 pay cut, essentially, if he accepted the modest contract. I mean, this is... he's had almost as much of a pay cut as Ash Taylor at this point. But Leilua knocked back the train and trial offer and is currently exploring options of playing in America or holding out hope for a contract offer from Super League. But as it stands right now, from November 1st, he will be unemployed. And then Joey's got on Instagram, as I mentioned earlier, and he's sort of screenshot the Wide World of Sports Channel 9 article, where the headline says, Joey Leilua cops massive pay cut after West Tigers offer train and trial deal, blah, blah, blah. And he said, put an overlay on there and said, well, this is another lie. I never got offered to go there for a train and trial. And then he said, NRL Online, get your facts right. And if you publish it, make sure there's a name to it, because they'd attributed to WWOS staff as the author on the byline. Yep. And then he says, by the way, I wouldn't play for someone that blames the team all the time and not once himself. Hashtag Madge.
Boy.
So, what do you make of that one, Glenny? I mean, really, your opinion is the only one that matters on this one, because, like, that is just some cancerous shit on the way out the door.
Pretty typical of a bloke that has proven himself at, you know, several clubs and several years to not be someone that can control his emotions or his you know, and his ill discipline. He, you know, to take some passing shots at the club on your way out the door, you know, a club that's paid you 800 odd grand to do three fifths of fuck all, and consistently put in poor, lazy performances in the rare occasions that you did find yourself in first grade. It's poor form, but unsurprising. So
fucking rare occasions you found yourself in first grade. He was fucking close to your captain most of the time he was there.
You're a fucking idiot.
This year he did meet the consequences of his actions.
Yeah.
Or inaction. Exactly. Hey, did you see the backhand that Joel Thompson gave?
No.
No.
Afterward. He put a post up on Twitter and said, any NRL players without contracts like Joey and want to earn a decent wage, get in contact with me. I'll get you trained up and working on the tracks. The average rail salary in Australia is $122,500 per year. Also, this offer is for anyone. And then he put a link to a rail construction and maintenance company that presumably he's got a stake in or works, or whatever. And
fucking good on him.
It's great on him. I fucking love it. Like, Joel Thompson is like, he's one of those great fucking club man sort of players. I mean, the Dragons loved him when he was there. Yep. Like Manly fans and the club loved him when he was there. But you know, the problem is it probably requires one of the small attributes that Joey Leilua has never demonstrated, and that is a willingness to work hard.
In fairness, like before he got to Canberra, he had that reputation as a fucking, you know, brain snap waiting to happen.
Dickhead.
But there were a couple of years there where you could sort of see it bubbling under the surface, but he did a very good job of keeping it in check when he was at the Raiders. When it was him and
But I mean, even looking at the grand final, I mean, some brain snaps in that game as well. Yeah,
that's it.
Could have passed it, didn't pass it, which would have been the game pretty much. Yeah. I think it's always there, but it doesn't always spill over into public.
But it just seemed that when he was at the Tigers, by the time he got to the Tigers, and my take is that it was him around his brother. Because all of a sudden he had to be the fucking cool one, and he had this big brother persona he had to keep on around his brother.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, do you remember the...
That's a fair point, actually.
Do you remember the Panthers game when his brother... got like he fell into a tackle or something, or he's had a head knock and got knocked out,
got clipped, and
and so he's just fucking swinging his arm at everyone in every single tackle that he goes in. Just dumb shit like that. It's the worst thing he could have done for his career, I think. Well, many people can say that about going to the West Tigers.
This now, motherfucker.
Now, speaking of the West Tigers, Sheenis is coming back, as we knew. This was always on the cards. You know, they organised it earlier this year. But out of all of the people, after the end of season review, out of all the people that copped the knife, we had Pascoe there. Embarrassing in terms of performance, but then also proving it on camera on a television show, following him around. And then he still survives, though. And then the one person that they get rid of was the head of football, Adam Hartigan. Now, what do you make of that one, Glenny? I mean, given that he's the guy that sort of delivered, Stefano and basically every good kid that made an impact this year for the side.
Look, there has to be a fall guy. Clearly, it wasn't going to be Pascoe or Maguire. It's probably next in line. I mean, with what they had to play with in the market, and the players that were available for the West Tigers to sign, which is fairly slim pickings, I don't hate what the guy did, and I certainly don't think he deserves to lose his job. I think the biggest point to take from Hartigan being shown the door is the fact that there's talk that Warren McDonnell is going to come back, which is just Sheenius getting the band back together. Unfortunately, that band never made any actual music post 2005. Warren McDonnell was famously responsible for signing his own son, Shannon, who should have been a fucking jockey, but turns out played fullback in first grade for the West Tigers, hilariously. Yeah. I don't know about that one. But all right, they have to be seen to be taking action. So the same, you know, for all the hullabaloo and all the media reports and the clickbait and all the rest of it, if all of the same cunts are still there next year, I just feel like...
You know, I don't think the current recruitment strategy you have of signing Penrith's rejects, like in the hope that Pasco can create the Wish Panthers, is working too well for you.
Dane Laurie's our best player. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Dane Laurie's in a Penrith jersey last time he was on TV, mate.
He was.
No Thunder 250. You're not getting stepdad and real dad cams tonight because it fucks up the bandwidth and makes everyone echo.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. And I'll put that in the chat. But yeah, so, you know, maybe later we'll try and bring them out again later and see how it goes. But yeah, at this stage, no. Now, look, I just want to get into the biggest story of the week. I think you'll all agree. It shocked the rugby league world to its core. And that, of course, is Aaron Woods will be joining the Red V on a 1-year deal. And not only that, they also got the plot of jet ski that we've been trying to jettison from fucking for a long time. And so the Dragons, I don't know what's going on over there, but...
Did we give a fucking tribute to the cunt on the trophy that died?
No, we didn't. He kind of died, and he died in an awkward timing, which was like after an episode, like at the furthest point away from the next episode. But please, what do you have to say about Norm?
What glowing tribute do you have for the cunt on the trophy that died?
The cunt on the trophy, yeah. Oh. Okay. So look, I feel like you've given an amazing tribute right there. But please.
I don't know how many of you have, but I would encourage you to go and watch some highlights of him. He was close to fucking Nelson's height. And just think about how imposing Big Nelson is on the game. Now, imagine Big Nelson that fucking runs like...
Before chicken steroids.
That runs like... Like a prime Sonny Bill. You know, it was just an absolute genetic freak. And the fact that it obviously was an iconic photograph that got him onto the trophy. But the fact that as a second rower he was so dominant in an era of the game where there
was... He was playing farmers.
True, but there was half as much fucking room as there is now.
Yeah, yeah.
And publicans.
I'm with you. I mean, the way you feel about Norm is going to come down to the way you feel about... Like, I think if people ask a question about Norm, and I think that people would answer the same way when they'd ask who's better, you know, at Jordan or LeBron. I think it'd be the same way. It'd be, I think, the same arguments that people would try and put on, you know, Jordan and diminish, you know, his achievements would be the same ones that they put on. Even more so, though, because it was like, you know, another half a century, you know, earlier.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fact that he could also come out as a stalwart of the game, mm-hmm. having played the bulk of his career for the club that is infamous with, you know, rapists, pedophiles... And harbouring people of that quality of person amongst their ranks, willingly, you know, to willingly harbour individuals like that, but yet still come out, you know, as such a pillar of the game, I think goes to his character as well. So, well done. I'm fucking sorry Penrith dropped the Voodoo Trophy and killed you. But, you know, they did it for the gram, so.
Well, this is the thing. It's like, it wasn't that they killed him with the trophy. I mean, he died of old age, but for some reason, he also had two broken legs when they did the autopsy. So I'm not sure they killed him, but they certainly did defile the body afterwards, which I think has got to be some kind of crime, right?
Sorry, on to Aaron Woods. I just thought I'd do that so the Dragons fans could have a nice warm moment with the history of their club before we just fucking drive home the stark reality of what it is now.
Right, right. Now, as we do this, I'm basically testing out your video feed again. So, for the people who are involved in the chat room, if Stepdad starts echoing again, let me know.
It's amazing that you know, Aaron Woods has become the type of player that if your team doesn't sign him, you breathe a sigh of relief. It's a hell of a fall from grace for a.
Oh, like I'm in my brain, you know, I was already rationalizing in my head, like, look, we've only offered him like a, you know, like 190 grand or something like that. It's not costing much, and he's only you know, probably the fifth or sixth drop in terms of the pecking order for props. So I was almost like, yeah, I can accept it, you know, but it didn't come to that. Dragons got him. So suck it, bitches. We have dodged the Aaron Woods / Aiden Tolman fucking bullet for another contract period.
Is it a fall from grace, though? Because I can't think of anyone that was ever happy with him at their club, except maybe Tigers fans.
No, but when, like, Tigers loved him, and when he left, they hated it.
Why?
And then he went to the Dogs as a big signing, remember?
The game was a lot quite different.
But he wasn't good at it.
Quite different. Sorry?
He wasn't good at it.
Yeah, look at his stats before he left. You're a stats guy.
What year?
The amount of hit-ups, tackles. What fucking year did he leave?
I don't know.
Me either. I don't care. I don't remember, but...
I don't have the West Tigers almanac sitting in my top pocket.
Maybe you should go and invest in one. His stats at that time of his career were up there, but the game, it's very different. I'm surprised that any clubs picked him up, to be quite honest.
Jesus Christ, he's only 30.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
It feels like he's been sucking forever.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. And look, it is fourth grade. I mean, like the thing that makes me think, I mean, if he willingly went to the Dragons over Manly's offer, then he's choosing money over winning, essentially, or first grade over just being, like, you know, stuck at Blacktown waiting for three props to get injured before he can get into first grade. You know, so which to me says everything about his general character. Like he's there to get the money he can with, you know, with as little work as possible. You know what I mean?
It's exactly the whole epitome of him leaving the Tigers.
Yeah, well, yeah. That was, I mean, that was when he was throwing the start of his stupid money, wasn't it? Because, I mean, he was sort of Origin and you know, captain of the side and all that sort of thing. So, but yeah. So yeah, look, best of luck to Aaron Woods. I hope that he has his Aaron Woodsiest season ever while on the Red V. Okay, time for the event that stops the nation, the moment you've all been waiting for, the 12th annual Twilly Awards. Without further ado, let's just get into it.
Let's do it.
The first category is our team of the year, fullback. And I can imagine that this one is going to be a foregone fucking conclusion. And it is. Just to remind you, though, the nominees for the fullback position were James Tedesco, Tommy Turbo, Will Kennedy, and Nico Hines. And your winner, with a total of 87.44% of the vote, Tommy Turbo.
Well done.
The minor placings there, Teddy scooped up most of the rest with just close to 7% of the vote, and then we go down to Nico Hines narrowly ahead of Will Kennedy for the minor places.
Yep.
Probably only voted for by supporters of their teams. So moving on to the second one, team of the year, the wingers. So we'll go top two for this one, Stepdad.
Nice. So the nominees, Alex Johnson, Ruben Garrick, Josh Adokar, and Brian To'o. In second place, with 17.84% of the vote, is Ruben Garrick. So he scores one spot in the team of the year. But fucking romping away with it in the largest victory in any category ever in the history of Twill Nation.
Although 20% behind the last one we just literally just mentioned.
With 66.20 is Bizza as the obvious winger of the year.
Right. So
the
we've
go-to
got
winger of the year.
Yes. So, no, what that means is that Toto's actually on both wings and Garrick can fuck off.
Yeah, I think it means that Toto can do the fucking grunt work, carting back kicks, and then we've got someone who can fucking score the tries and kick the goals as well from the sideline as like our all-time leading point scorer of the NRL for a season.
Interesting.
Talk about sexy good blokes. This is a sexy fucking talented bloke, Ruben Garrick.
Talk about Aaron Woods-like falls from grace. Josh Adokar.
Well, he got on the ballot, but yeah, he was last by a fucking long way looking at this, yeah.
Absolutely fucking last.
The only winger not to find his way to double-digit share of the vote.
That's it.
Yeah, crazy.
For a shit cunt team.
And Alex Johnson, you know, coming off a fucking year where he scored like record tries and shit.
Yeah.
But still way back there. Bit of recency and grand finally bias, I think. Okay, number three is our team of the year. It's the centres. So give us the top two, Glennie.
So the top two in second place was...
Well, give us all the contestants first and then break down who the winners
were. So the nominees were Matt Burton, Joseph Manu, Justin Ollam, and Dane Gagai. Coming in second place with 17.84% of the vote is Joey Manu. And if he was still capable of smiling, I'm sure he'd be ecstatic and would be grinning from ear to ear. But since his surgery, the best he can muster is a grunt. And in first place, no real surprise, with 51.17% of the vote is Matt Burton, who had a magnificent season for the Panthers.
So they did.
And he'll proceed to probably not play that position again. So what? Finals winning, center, all that shit.
Yes. Look, I would fucking love if all of those NRL rumors going around at the moment about a player who's on a certain amount next year but thinks because of his stellar season it should be much more and he's trying to backflip on his team, I'd fucking love that to be Matty Burton, but we'll see.
Wait, someone said no Ollam, that's surprising. No, there's what Ollam is there? I mean, what are you talking about? In the centres? Ollam came second from what I'm
Maybe you
at.
Should spend more time paying attention and less time being a cunt. Just my suggestion.
Dopes in the chat, honestly. I mean, you're literally the most engaged people with this voting.
Did you say Ollam or Manu? I thought you said Joey Manu was second.
No, Ollam's clearly second. I'm looking at it.
You what?
Manu was third.
Glenn.
No.
Jesus Christ. You fucked up your first one, have you, Glennie? I'm looking
it's
at the
first and second. Oh. The team of the year is first and
yeah,
second.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You fucking dope.
Well, Joey Manu would have got there if he played more games.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if he would have.
Put the fucking things in order. Like, how's a man supposed to keep up with that? I just read
There's
one
a
and two.
Fucking bar graph.
Can you see the bar graphs that are massively brightly coloured? You Jesus.
Look, right. That's not a good start. I'll get better. But
I'm just picturing Glenn in the orgy. Like,
fuck Justin
Ollam. His hips nodding. Just nodding, going, I definitely have the biggest dick in this place.
Look, congratulations.
I can definitely congratulations. Say that's never been uttered by me ever.
Well, the way you assess bar graphs, I'm genuinely surprised.
Mine looks like
just like the
Dane Gagai's effort in this.
Look,
in this,
let's. I don't like. You know, this is not school, but I mean, I just want you to know that the biggest graph is the best. And when we want two in a category, they want the two biggest ones. Okay. So can we just please? Just
I get
please
it.
For the
I get it.
For the people playing at home, the centres in the team of the year,
Joey Manu,
Matt Burton. Fuck up, Matt Burton and Justin Ollam. And Justin Ollam had over 10% more of the vote than Joey Manu did. So it wasn't even close. So yeah,
please don't lock us in a car until we agree that the fucking stubby bar graph is okay.
I would like to lock you in a car with a pipe from the exhaust running into the window with the engine running. That's what I would like to fucking do.
Well, joke's on you, it'd be a Tesla.
But anyway, you know, that was thank you very much to Ruin Sims for guesting on that last category for us. We'll bring Glennie back for the next one. But the next one is the team of the year is 5/8, and your nominees were Cam Munster, Kieran Foran, Cody Walker, and Jerome Luai. And your winner, with a monstrous 70.7% of the vote, was Cody Walker. Leaving Luai, Foran, and Munster to make up the numbers with a small percentage between them.
Tell you what, hope no one Twilly Team of the Year ever plays can take an intercept.
So who was the other 5/8 of the year, Nathan?
Well,
it's not how this works, Glenn. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, are we going to have to explain the basic? I mean, I know you had a couple of years off, but I mean, you've done this many fucking times. Like, you've done this probably five or six times.
It's been a long day. My bad. You know?
So that takes us to you, Stepdad, to reveal our Team of the Year halfback.
Fantastic. So looking at the nominees for halfback of the year. Adam Reynolds, Jerome Hughes, somehow, Daly Cherry Evans.
Well, one of the top five players of the year, according to the Daly M's.
Not even top five Manly players, but Nathan Cleary. And have been vindicated with, it's another record, the largest winning margin in the history of the Twillies, 78.87% of the vote going to Nathan Cleary. Fucking walloped home.
Can one of the listeners who are observant, and this is, you know, potentially like a Clevo situation, what is the biggest winning margin we've ever had for a category? Because, like, I would have expected, like, Tommy to be the record, and, I mean, he's almost cracked 90%. But I think, I'm pretty sure we've probably had over 90% for a category in the past.
I think there would have been a couple of Teddy seasons where he was just that far and above.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I want to say. Second place was Jerome Hughes with 8.9. It was Reynolds with 9.8.
Reynolds, oh yeah, just narrowly, yep.
That's it.
Okay, Glennie.
Underrated season from Hughes, I think. I think he deserved a bit better than that.
Yeah, I just think that...
Fantastic season, nowhere near as injury prone as Reynolds.
Although Adam Reynolds, after taking our advice on board... Did, yeah, I mean, I actually think that if it wasn't for us calling out his absolute injury-prone nature, I think that, you know, they may have won the grand final because he forced himself to play with, you know, to basically
prove us wrong.
To prove us wrong, he took the field in the grand final with the groin injury and, you know, those two goals. I mean, if you hadn't given him to Taffy, you know, it may have been a different story.
That's it.
All right, Glennie, next one is Team of the Year, Lock.
The nominees for the lock position in the Team of the Year, Jason Taumalolo, Isaiah Yeo, Tino, and Cameron Murray. And the winner, let me just double check on the bar graph and the percentages, with 52.11% of the vote, and very well deserved, is Isaiah Yeo, a man that I've grown to appreciate greatly this season, watching him closely, and fucking glorious, one of the most footballer. Valuable players to any team in the comp.
Yeah.
And your mate Glennie, fucking old Ming the Merciless Todd. Has a lot to fucking answer for producing a season when Jason fucking Taumalolo, can garner himself less than 2% of the vote, in the category of lock. Fairly well contested though between Isaiah Yeo and Cameron Murray, and you know, I guess both grand final locks.
Both so, great players too. I appreciate Cam Murray.
I think just in terms of like pure lock forward play. You would say that they are just about equal. I think it's just Yo's ability to ball play that sets him above.
Okay, so that brings us to our Team of the Year, second row. And our nominees were the Dally M, second row, Milian Kickout, Angus Crichton, Hamoli Olakau'atu, and Isaiah Papali'i. And an absolute dominant victory with just under 68% of the vote going to winner Isaiah Papali'i, and then trailing way back, just under 20%, Angus Crichton takes the other spot. And
big season.
The Dally M winners,
big season.
I mean, it was great, but I would never have thought that he would dominate the vote to that level.
Oh.
But especially given the, Kikau was a the Dally M. And I mean, I know there was criticism of him getting that Team of the Year second row in the Dally M's, but good to see that the people of Twill Nation who vote actually have a fucking brain and don't just toe the line,
eyes.
Spot on.
Next up, the props. Let's go.
Prop of the year. Your candidates are Daniel Saifidi. How the fuck? Daniel Saifidi.
I know, I was surprised too, but then I had to, when it was suggested, I actually looked into it. I was like, holy fuck, he actually did have a far better season than I would ever have credited him for.
Rhea Hargreaves, The Fish, James Fisher-Harris, and the Payne Haas. And very, very close here. It's a runner-up spot with 38.97% of the vote is James Fisher-Harris, leaving first place and the starting spot to Payne Haas with 44.13%. And that's, as far as dominant performances from props go, like Fish had a magnificent year all up and was great every single game, but fuck me, there were some games where Haas just put that entire team on his back.
Yep.
And carry.
Fair front row, those two. Imagine them starting a game for any team.
I like it.
Give me a break.
Yeah, that's it.
And if you're thinking of the Team of the Year as an actual team to take the field, it's like, I just love it for like the age of the guys and shit as well. You know, like if you're putting the team together and you had the luxury of putting those two guys on as your starting rotation, I mean, fucking look out. All right, Glennie, next one's yours. Team of the Year, it's the Hooker.
An award that was dominated my first stint on the show every single year to my memory, with record winning margins every year by Robbie Farah. Some of that may be made up.
Did Robbie Farah ever?
He had to have. Had to have. Someone go back and look. The nominees for the Hooker of the Year: Damien Cook, Brandon the Cheese, Hectic Cheese Smith, Appy Korosau, and Reid Marnie. in the winner with a tick over 67% of the vote is the Cheese, Brandon Smith, who had a great year. Probably his last year in Melbourne. Who knows? He might be in jail. He's going to be in the sights of the Dolphins franchise come next, well, 2023.
Although, but, I don't think so.
There was talk of trying to get him and Munster. I don't know that they'll be successful with either. But
it's Reed Marnie, Harry Grant and Munster. The three big targets. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, fuck. Look, I'm surprised Cheese won that, because I reckon he played a total of fucking three games all year with the amount of times that weak cunt spent on the sideline.
Wow.
Oof. Strong words there. And looking at the minor placings.
Tissue paper he's made out of.
The minor placings, you had Reed Marnie way back on like around 12%, and then Appy around 11, and then Damien Cook on just under 9.
Mm. So it's fairly convincing.
Yeah, fairly convincing and fairly well fought amongst the other three. Next one up, it's mine. Category number 10 is the interchange. And the interchange player, this was a fucking hard one to fill out. I remember asking you guys and putting it to the group and everything as well.
You kept asking and I kept answering, I don't fucking know.
yeah. It was tough. But there were three almost consensus picks that across the board, so I just threw those guys in there. And Benji Marshall, Harry Grant, and Connor Watson. And I would love to have eight people in this category and pick four and like really fill out a proper team. But the fucking the options just weren't there from the consensus group. And so your team of the year interchange player with a winning percentage of just under 45%, Harry Grant. Benji came in about 37%, and then Connor Watson was back under 18%.
Yeah. Which is very interesting, because think about interchange players. Like Big Nelson was an interchange player.
Mm.
How the fuck was he not the most dominant?
Yeah, and how the fuck did not a single person suggest him as an option?
That's it.
It's fucking crazy. Good help is hard to find sometimes. And I mean, that was in the Facebook group and the Patreon and everything. Like,
and six emails between us, and none of us come up with him either.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but we don't want to,
If you guys need to learn how to fucking
stack the ballot,
if you guys need to learn how to take or give an offload, go to nrl.com/stateofmind/ pick your fucking twilly candidates, you cunts, / get fucked. The next one's yours, Jay. It's the 2021 Player of the Year.
And the nominees were Teddy, Cody Walker, Nathan Cleary, and Tommy Turbo. Fuck, does it trigger anybody else when people call him Turbo Tom?
Who does that?
Fuckhead commentators.
Yeah, is there one guy? Is there like one of them that sort of pushes that? Or
I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like some people listening to this show when I just can't identify which person is who, even though they've said their name multiple times. But
it's probably the same people. It's the same sort of people that call the Melbourne Rugby League side the Storm instead of the correct name, the Storms.
Yes.
So. You just get those people who just
Want to watch the world burn.
People who pronounce the TH in Penrith when knowing clearly that's not how it's pronounced.
Storms. Go Storms.
So
Player of the Year, runner up, with 21.13% of the vote was Nathan Cleary. Leaving first place with 68% to Tommy Turbo.
Legend. He's second twilly of the night. The next one, Glenny. It's yours. It's Captain of the Year.
Look here.
Yeah. Captain of the side is potentially someone that's not made the side. But I guess it's just the Captain of the Year and not the captain of the team.
It's like the... The ultimate Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. So true. So the nominees for Captain of the Year, not the Captain of the Team of the Year of the Twillies, just the Captain of the Year.
Bench.
James Tedesco.
The Captain on the selection cutting room floor.
Daly, Cherry Evans, Isaiah Yeo, and Adam Reynolds. 40.85% of the vote in first place for James Tedesco, who copped a little bit more criticism this year for being a bit of a ball hog at certain parts of the season, more criticism than I think he's ever attracted in his career. But you can't fault his effort and willingness to try and drag that team with all the adversity and injuries that they had. He still had a great year individually and also as captain of the Roosters. So, well deserved, Teddy.
Agree. So we move on to the 13th category, and it's the Rookie of the Year. Now, this one, when you look at the Dally M's, it seemed like it was a two-horse race between Sam Walker and Reece Walsh, and then when Reece Walsh was caught with the cocaine, it invalidated his, you know, ability to win the award, and then Sam Walker kind of won it by default. So here we are in a fair fight. We don't care if they're on the bags. We just want to get them. We just want to get the right person for the award.
Yeah, that's it.
So the contenders were Sam Walker, Reece Walsh, Dane Laurie. At your fucking insistence, Glennie.
Yes.
Correct. Repeated insistence, correct. And I had to give you one eventually. I gave you one, and Jaden Campbell, and the winner. With 41.4% of the vote, Sam Walker.
Oof.
Unassisted victory. And that settles the Rookie of the Year definitively. Reece Walsh did finish second with 27.4% of the vote. Dane Laurie was back in third with just over 16% or two ahead of Campbell.
This wasn't his rookie season, though.
What's that? Yeah, no, it wasn't his debut season, but it was his rookie season. Okay, he debuted for Panthers, but he only played fuck all, like not enough to contaminate his rookie campaign.
Cool. So Dane Laurie's now Ben Simmons. Great.
Well, I mean, he's not turning up to the fucking women's soccer team training venue, just practicing by himself and not fucking doing any drills, right?
Dane Laurie has not performed his club sanctioned 8,000 quad stretches.
That's how he broke his leg. Excessive quad stretching snapped his tibia.
Oh, I love it.
You're up 14. Coach of the year.
Oh, coach of the year. Coach of the Year. And the nominees were Wayne Bennett, Trent Robinson, Des Hasler, Ivan Cleary, Craig Bellamy. The winner with 33.3%. Robbo at the Roosters, which everyone thought he was Coach of the Year.
Rewarded, I guess, for dragging the least the furthest.
Yeah.
I guess. And not just necessarily the least, but also like the most disrupted week on week as well, you know, with players getting injured and, you know, dropping. Yeah, there was a period there where there was, you know, each week it was another fucking catastrophic injury. Mm. So
I'll tell you what, though. For mine, Wayne was Coach of the Year. Just for the trajectory he put that team on. 3 weeks out, three rounds before the finals, no one was talking about South Sydney. It was Penrith and Melbourne, and then Manly were the only other viable option if you were talking about premiership contenders.
Yep.
No one was talking about South Sydney. They got fucking trounced. Like, that had 50 put on them during the year.
Twice.
They got fucked up by Penrith. And then coming in, like the trajectory they were on to beat Penrith in the first round, and then to go on and so convincingly earn their spot in the grand final, that was the pointy end of coaching. But, you know, and Robbo did a great job, I think, you know, all season, obviously, Nate, like you said, like dealing with fucking adversity like no other
coach. You know, the thing is, like this category, I think, as far as the actual nominees are concerned, was possibly the best one because there was a reason for everybody.
Yeah.
Like Bellamy, you know, they had the 19 in a row. And, you know, Cleary's grand final. Desi took, like, you know, second last to fucking, you know, one game out of the grand final. Trent Robinson for the reason he won, of course, and Bennett for the reasons you mentioned. So it was a...
Yeah, great field.
Just great field. Yeah, you know, probably the best field in the entire awards, to be honest. Glennie, you're up. Oh, prestigious one, this. Grub of the year.
Speaking of great fields, this is a closely contested category. The nominees for Grub of the Year, Latrell Mitchell, Tyrone May, Kane Evans, and Justin Pascoe. Now, the top three in this category, all separated by 4% of the vote. but
it's the most closely contested field of the night so far.
So, in third place was Latrell Mitchell with 29.58% of the vote. Closely.
That might be, I reckon that's recency bias too. Like the fact that Latrell wasn't there for the last sort of 4 weeks of the year.
My pick for Grub of the Year, Justin Pascoe, second with 31.46% of the vote, but the winner, and I won't say clear cut choice, but certainly deserved of the title. Tyrone May with 33.8% of the vote, and every part of that award, and certainly epitomizes the term grub.
And really, opinion. I think the reason he got that extra couple of percentage points to win this field, I think it was just because he played until the very end of the season. Even after the season, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. I mean, he was still put in a bit like Latrell, obviously, you know, through his actions, he ruled himself out a month before the end of the competition, so I was out of sight, out of mind. Which really, when you put it that way, then you look at Pascoe and you go, wow. I mean, like Tiger Town, it also finished well before the end of the season. But
he made his mark.
Right, so we come to number 16. The category is the hit of the year. And now the hit of the year, there was a number. And this, the amount of fucking YouTubing and shit that had to be done to try and narrow these down. Your contenders were a tackle made by Victor Radley on Momorowski, Corey Harawira Naira's illegal shot on Jerome Hughes, Will Chambers on Dylan Walker, and Homoli Olakau'atu on Fletcher Baker, which was in the second week of the finals. And your winner, fairly close field, your winner, though, with a total of 33% of the vote, was Corey Harawira Naira's illegal shot on Jerome Hughes.
Oh, Jesus.
So does that mean, like, yeah, Chad on Ponga would have been a good chance last year?
Didn't they get nominated?
Probably. It may have been. I don't know if it was a grub thing or not. I can't remember. I can't remember fucking ending 3 weeks ago, let alone another season. You're up, stepdad, for number 17, which is the hashtag NRL Chaos finish of the year.
So
let's explain these cats just to remind people what they all were as well.
Nomination for these. Broncos versus Roosters, round 22.
Which is Broncos seemingly had that one in the bag in a big upset against the injured Roosters.
Yep. After they'd beat them.
Yep.
A couple of weeks before. Roosters versus Titans, week one of the finals.
And, of course, that's the chaos of Bo Firma's huge break down the left-hand side towards the end of the game, and one tackle left to go. And
yep.
Corey could have passed it to Fifita to trample him over, or he could have basically done anything except go himself. Or, sorry, no, yeah, he had to pass it.
Patrick Herbert.
Sorry, Herbert could have passed it to Corey, or he could have sent it to Fifita. And yep. And instead he sort of went himself until it was too late and passed over the sideline, game over.
My favourite end to a game
ever,
not involving Penrith in a grand final ever.
Hmm.
Tigers versus Souths, round six.
Which, of course, is the game in extra time where Tom Burgess blasted through the Tigers' defence, slammed the ball down for a try that looked like perhaps it had come loose, and the ball was scooped up in the in-goal area by Luke Brooks as the Tigers players were tasting the agony of defeat. The Souths players were rejoicing in their victory, and Brooksy's picked up the ball and ran length of the field, scored under the post, trailed by the referee who awarded the try. And then they went back and took a good hard look at it and decided that no, Tom Burgess actually had scored that try. And Brooksy's little legs had pumped 110 metres for nothing.
Fantastic. And last
not
one.
Not for the only time this season.
Warriors versus Tigers.
Yep.
Round 20.
Brooksy's little legs pumping, part two, the sequel, Electric Boogaloo. And this was a game where the Tigers kind of had it in their keeping. They lost it. And then as they tried to mount their comeback, numerous things happened. There was the famous where they had like a tackle about 3 meters out, and no one went to dummy half for the next play when they had the Warriors absolutely on the fucking ropes. And it ultimately ended though with Brooksy blocking a grubber kick from the Warriors, and the ball ricocheted up and he bounced off him, and he picked it up and little legs pumped him down about 90 meters down the field to score the try, the match winner. And it was called back because as the ball bounced up, it came off his bicep and it was a knock-on.
Was that also the one where they kicked a dropout?
Yep.
To somebody
that was
Brooks.
Yeah.
And they charged through with the old Royce 91, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. And the winner of that category, complete and utter recency bias. It's the fucking wrong answer, you Gronks. Roosters versus Titans, week one of the finals with 42.25%.
I'm fucking filthy. I'm fucking filthy about that result, to be honest.
Robbing Luke Brooks of the only valid award he could possibly have won this season.
In a category in which he was nominated two
twice.
Of the four.
That is the most Brooks thing ever.
The legs have pumped for the third time this season. And look, it wasn't a huge win, though. It was only a couple of percentage points ahead of the Tigers versus Souths game. And this proves that democracy doesn't work.
It doesn't. You can't have those things.
Good times.
Lenny, this one actually fell on you legitimately, and I would have given this one to you anyway to read out, but it actually fell on you just going, you know, one for one. And it's the real dad, memorial player, who only shows up once per season.
Well, quite frankly, this is offensive. And I feel like the award needs to be renamed.
We will be renaming it going forward. I mean, obviously this was the name of the award a couple of seasons running.
So can we have the Real Dad Award for the player with the shittest taste in music?
Why are you the way you are? And this is a question, maybe this is a fucking category that we need to put to a vote.
Maybe someone just paved over the paradise of my fucking soul.
If your soul was ever fucking paradise, it should be in a museum.
Well, it's not now. They paved paradise.
But they could have used really nice pavers.
The Real Dad Memorial.
I'm Jay from National Team.
Hello.
Now, fucking Jesus. The Real Dad Memorial. Player, excuse me, the Real Dad Memorial player who only shows up once per season. Hotly contested category. Some fucking names in this one. Valentine Holmes, Dylan Edwards, Chad Townsend and Kalen Ponga. And taking it out was Kalen Ponga with 36.15% of the vote. Second place, Valentine Holmes with 28.64. And third place, the chat, 19.72.
There you go, Knights fans.
Cops a lot of flack, Kalen Ponga.
I'll tell you what, I will instantly reverse my opinion on Kalen Ponga if he leaves to join the Dolphins.
Oh, 100%, me too, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, that's brings us to number 19. It is the decline of the year. Your nominees, the Canberra Raiders, the West Tigers, Peter Volandis, and Trent Barrett. And your winner in a tough battle, the margin being 40.93% versus 36.28%, your winner for the decline of the year, narrowly over the West Tigers, who finished second, your Canberra Raiders. The Green Machine.
Yeah, well deserved.
And it really, that's the correct answer as well. You know, it's not being funny or anything. It's just, what a fucking nightmare year where, and it's kind of, you know, culmination of a nightmare 2 years, but gee, it really came home to roost this season for the old, for the milk. The milk's gone bad.
Very, very bad.
Wish I had more hands. Give titties 4 thumbs down. Stepdad, you're up.
Jeez.
Number 20, hashtag it's the hashtag of the year.
The fucking Old Faithful, Tigers in Decline.
It's incredible that it can still poll so strongly every year. I mean, this year was a pretty good Tigers in Decline year, though, you got to be honest.
It was. It was.
The decline was televised this year.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, there you go. Yeah, someone in the chat says there, don't get Danny started. You know what? I expect you to be a Ponga fan for life and to switch over to the Dolphins when they start. The other two options were hashtag illegitimate joy, which, look, I never really got behind, even though it was, you know, my team making fun of somebody else, but I don't know, it just never did it for me.
Well, making fun of the Tigers of all teams as well, you know.
Exactly. I know, I should like that hashtag much more, but... Yeah. And hashtag fuck the Broncos, which was your winner with 48.36% of the vote, which means that some Broncos fans even voted for it.
Yeah. All right, Glenny, 21 is the Twill episode of the year.
So the nominees for the episode of the year.
This is another one that's like pulling teeth, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so fucking hard. It's so hard.
Difficult.
We need to,
very close.
We need to figure out some sort of, I don't know, like a Dally M-esque system so we can keep track of which are the ones that should be nominated at the end of the year, you know?
I guarantee.
And I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what sort of metric
because you can't use metrics like you know, the number of downloads and stuff, because the downloads peak and flow as the general public's interest in the rugby league season, you know, peaks and flows. So it always, you know, as teams go mathematical, their fans tend to drop off the rugby podcast, the rugby league podcast scene. So,
so back to the nominees, episode 398. Defendertron 3000, episode 409, Tribus, episode 412, The Bush Doctor, one of my personal favourites, and episode 437, Personal Barber. And the winner, with 34.27% of the vote, is episode 437, Personal Barber. We just visited.
Tell me,
not a week ago.
I saw you tag him on Facebook saying that, you know, blah blah. In this episode, there was chat about him.
Yeah.
Did you actually listen to it? And did he say anything about it?
He did. And he goes, "Do you know the funny thing is that I listened to that, and Ash Taylor came in that day for a haircut." So
hang on. He's not even Ash Taylor's personal barber. Ash Taylor just goes there for haircuts.
Goes to his house, yeah. It's all good.
So is he moving over to New Zealand with him?
No, actually he's moving to Brisbane. So we may need to find another personal barber, or we've got a hell of a fucking drive to get the children's haircut.
The thing, if you had to give a list of 1,000 jobs that would surprise you that people do out of their house, a barber is not on that list.
No.
No.
I don't take your point.
Yeah, what are you?
That just because he goes to his house doesn't make it special. Right?
As opposed to just going to and waiting in line at a barbershop.
If he went to his house for brain surgery, that would be unusual and something that you would say, well, yeah, that's his personal fucking
neurosurgeon.
I would like
to perform brain surgery on you at my house with a hammer.
we'll call that Noffa conversion.
Now, fellas, I'll have to text it to you because what we don't have in these results is this year there were a couple of awards that we have elected to just award unilaterally, basically
based on our opinions.
As based on our opinions because of the lack of contenders, essentially. So I'm just putting them in the chat now. So you guys can take one of them each. And you can go first if you want, Stepdad. And you take the other one, Glennie. Mm-hmm. But so the next one, we've got the Rookie of the Year.
I'm going to award my personal favourite, Gronk of the Year.
Oh, you're going to do Gronk? Okay, yeah, go for it.
Yes, Gronk of the Year.
This is
because...
Sorry, go ahead. Before you say who the winner is... I just wanted to register my disappointment in the general Gronk community around the show. Traditionally, This has been an extremely hard-fought category every year.
Yeah.
With multiple viable options to take it out. This year, however, though, it just wasn't.
I was fucking hopeful. I had all my hopes. Again, it was like a fucking... It was like the Ben Simmons journey all over again. I saw this fucking young man come in, blasted the roof off the arena with his first couple of appearances. I'm talking about my man Kyle, who came in and spoke for everyone.
Yep.
Killer.
But then, fucking...
I mean, he came out 3 Dalian points in his debut.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I gave him 6 Dalian points, because, fuck, we're just giving the next game points based off this performance.
Yeah.
But... passed up open dunks, just didn't really go on with it, which could very much mean that, he has a life and does other things apart from hang out in fucking podcast social media groups.
He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy.
Entirely possible. One thing I've noticed about some OGs, when the OGs fucking gronk, they have fucking conviction about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking gronking. These new millennial gronks, they hit a bit of gronk pressure and they fucking fold. They fold. So next year, I expect better. Fucking run harder, cunts. But this person embodies everything I love about a gronk in that they do it in the right spirit, in that they've never actually gronked at someone that I can or in any great way.
Well, it's not that it's not at someone, it's that it's at everyone and no one all at the same time.
Exactly. So here's this thing. Like, he's actually like probably the closest thing we have to a Buddhist fucking thing. But the Gronk of the Year, fucking well deserved. Super Grover. True OG, true friend of the show.
Not his first time.
And has now got a fucking better track record than his shit cunt team. So he's kept going as they have declined. So well done.
And now just looking in the chat at the moment, Chris says, the decline in Gronk of the Year has coincided with Twitter and Zuckerberg cracking down on language and, in quotes, bullying. I think Grover winning Gronk of the Year absolutely disproves that because he got fucking zucked about 5 times and he got zucked so bad that Facebook put him on... post approval where we had to approve his post for a full month before they would turn up on the Facebook group. So as probably the person who was zucked the most in the group, he still managed to take it out. So you can make excuses.
Mitt Iodine in there. Some of us gronk 24/7. No, look, see, you know what? Nah, so look, maybe you do. Maybe you do Gronk 24/7, but it's going to take someone fucking special to knock him. Just as it took someone special in the form of the greatest team in the history of rugby league to knock Melbourne off their pedestal.
Cunt this cunt's mic off, please, Nate.
He's talking about Manly in 2008.
I'm sick of this shit.
It's all right. Why you got to be like that, Glennie? We'd let you talk if the West Tigers won something ever. I mean, it's a hard part, isn't it, though? Winning is a hard part, isn't it?
Yeah, look, that's a difficult proposition.
Now, the next one, that's you. You can do the rookie, Glennie.
The rookie of the year. Once again. Was taken out by an individual who is a rookie in every sense of the word. He's a rookie in the fact that he's done fuck all, and he's made a fairly lame attempt to integrate himself into the community. He's a rookie in the fact that he thought that he was going to step to the wrong fucking person very early on in the season, and then realised quite quickly the error of his ways and spent the rest of an entire fucking calendar year trying to repent and find the good graces of the Great One. Unsuccessfully so, I might add. But we
talk about all the emails back and forth about getting nominees for categories and stuff, Glennie, and you specifically nominated this person for Rookie of the Year because I quote,
Jay, can you cut this
head game
mic off?
Head game strong. You said his head game is strong, so he should be the rookie. That's a direct quote.
It's because he's got a massive fucking head. He's got a head.
So did you know? Did you know that that actually means he gives good head? When you said that, like, is that something you've heard the kids say?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, I'm glad,
my mate.
Kids
you only got a lame fucking swish message.
What did you get?
Well, how do you think I know his head game's strong? So the Rookie of the Year, without
blind,
any further ado,
now we know who it is. Yeah.
Is young Mitch Kelly, aka Ned. Ned says, "Go fuck yourself."
There we go. Congratulations, fella. Strong first season. Backing it up's the real key, though. Now we move on to the MVC, the most valuable contributor for 2021. And our contenders were some long-time people that, you know, really deserved the noms. And so we got them in there this year. Then James Whetstone and Terry Bull. Grover in there as well. And finally, Steve, a.k.a. I think he's changed his name on Twitter now to, like, Old Mate Steve or something. He's given up the Tigers. He's not One-Eyed Tiger anymore. He's old mate Steve, who, for those in the Facebook group, would know that after every episode, he would do a inspirational-style meme with a quote from Glennie from the episode. So I felt that this one was pretty much a foregone conclusion. And while it's not the biggest margin of the night, 60% on the button, actually, for Steve, the MVC champion for 2021. Second place, Grover, a long way back in the early 20s, but he backed up the Gronk for second place in this one as well. So congratulations there, Steve. Very well deserved. I was so close to just awarding this one unilaterally as well because I felt like the margin was so great, but I did want to recognize the other guys on the ballot because your contributions are all extremely valuable. And thanks so much for the absolute shit posting that you provide on a daily basis in some cases. And that takes us to our final category. And it's the revelation of the 2021 NRL season. This one was a real eclectic mix of nominees, such as Tiger Town and Michael Maguire, Tommy Turbo's season, the return of Glenn.
It's got my
and
vote.
The Roosters making the finals despite their injury toll. And your winner with a total total percent of 59.53%. Good margin over the second place, which is just under 22%. And the winner, the revelation of the 2021 NRL season is the return of Glennie.
Oh, stop it.
Well done.
And beating out Tiger Town. which was back there in about 22%. So.
I think that award just lost me.
I was going to say, considering we had a...
How can you come second but still bring everyone else in the field down?
There you have it. That is the Twillies for 2021. I'm impressed with the community as a whole in terms of the way they went in terms of nominations and votes for the team categories for the team of the year. I feel like we got a stronger team than the Dally M one trotted out, and most of the time, I think they got it pretty right. I think it's still going to drive me crazy that fucking that NRL Chaos one. It really should have been that Tigers South game, but otherwise, yeah, I think people pretty much got it right. But the Tigers finished the year on a high with yourself and Steve taking out the last two categories of the night.
If I could just get a little bit serious just for a second. I don't think, and I did touch on it briefly with you, Nate, whilst Jay was in the merchandise line on grand final night, but coming back this year has been massive for me personally, and I was probably a little bit lost over the last couple of years before coming back to the show personally and mentally, and... When Nate reached out and asked if I was interested in coming back, I jumped at the chance and have zero regrets. It's I'll admit, and I don't like to admit when pieces of shit like Kyle and Ned may be onto something, but it was a bit of a shaky start and it took me time to find my feet, but now we're here and we've got another season in the books, and I just want to say thank you to you two, first and foremost, for everything and having me, welcoming me back, and for fucking mercilessly fucking hammering me and just iron sharpening iron every fucking week, and I really had to step up my game just to stay alive, which I appreciate. But it's really, I don't think either of you truly understand how much it means to be back on the show and what it's done for me personally. And so thank you both for that. But also thank you to the entire Tool Nation community and for listening and the banter and Steve, obviously, for the memes every week. Fucking brilliant. I've loved those as well. So everyone that's reached out and in support or bantered with me or listened to me talk shit in what has been a pretty ordinary fucking season for my team, obviously. But, so that's enough seriousness. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate you.
Exciting news down here in Australia, folks. Our friends at Manscaped just launched their fourth generation performance package. The ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard it right. It's 4.0 now, baby. Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming, have done it again to make your grooming game next level. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new Performance Package 4.0 by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILLNATION.
Unheralded benefit. Everyone that has your Manscaped products, what I advise you to do now is go to your bathroom, put your hands in the air, and use that miraculous 4.0 on your underarms. We talk a lot about how your balls will thank you, or making sure your mum doesn't choke on pubes, all these things. But one of the unheralded advantages is how much fresher, cleaner, and less stinky you are with smooth-as-balls, literally, armpits. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. That 7,000 RPM motor makes your life cleaner and smell better. Get on it. Stinky fucks.
You can seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, their crop preserver, ball deodorant for leaving the house, and crop reviver ball toner for a mid-game ball check. I use these. I came out into the house, gave my wife a little kiss on the cheek in the kitchen. Still had my towel wrapped around me because I'm fucking bang up for the sexy times in the kitchen. She said, "You smell so fucking good. So good." She said, "What deodorant? What cologne are you wearing?" Said, "Babe, it's my balls. Do you want to have a smell?" She declined politely, but I can tell ya, your missus might just say, "You know what? I'm just going to have a little whiff. Whip him out. Let me have a little whiff." And the crop preserver and the reviver, just the sexy time will be coming your way. You can thank us for it later.
How lucky are you that you didn't walk into the kitchen and she went, "Have you been to see Nate?"
"What do you smell like, Nate's balls?"
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILLNATION at manscaped.com. That is 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILLNATION at manscaped.com. Throw it in all caps. Your balls have been through enough this past year. Treat them with the best tools for the job from Manscaped. What?
How good. How fucking good. And look, to echo that, you know, at this time last year, we were, you know, I guess coming out of COVID.
Mm.
You know, we weren't in lockdown up here. Sydney wasn't in lockdown. Melbourne wasn't either, if I remember correctly. And I think Christmas last year relatively normal?
It certainly was for us.
Mm.
Could, yeah. But I think this year's been more trying on many people for different reasons. You know, the last year there was lockdowns and there was a lot of uncertainty, but there was also a lot of support there in terms of, you know, the government payments and
yeah.
And all this stuff. This year there seemed to be less of that.
And also Sydney ended up with a really protracted lockdown as well.
That's it. So Sydney suffered an incredible lockdown this year, and the people of Sydney did an excellent job for the most part of banding together. So I think the rugby league community also really came together and celebrated what they had. You know, I saw so many people say that, you know, footy gave them, you know, some semblance of the week when you lock down and you don't have that normal structure you have to have that Thursday night, Friday night, you know, Saturday, Sunday was helpful. And I know that there were people in Twill Nation who helped each other, you know, and people come to us, and the amount of fucking DMs I got of people just being genuinely grateful for some laughs and some distraction was truly fucking humbling. But my favourite part were the stories I heard of Nation members helping Nation members. So that really makes what we do worthwhile, to see people out there just being fucking good cunts and helping out where they're needed.
I agree with everything you said.
Agreed.
I agree with everything you type.
And I agree. Yeah. Well, that's true. As people would have heard, people won't hear it on the actual final episode because you weren't saying anything. So Glenn wasn't saying anything, so I can mute it. But yeah, for some reason, his phone. I mean, I think is it an iPhone?
Yeah.
You've got the only fucking iPhone in the world that has no signal shielding on it at all. And if you put it anywhere near any other electrical thing, it just starts crackling like a fucking maniac. So, but yeah. No one will know what I'm talking about except for the people listening live. They would have heard it, but yeah, it'll be edited out of the main episode. But Yeah, that is it for this episode. Now, it's not it for the season. I mean, traditionally we do end the season on the Twillies, but had a message from a good friend, Michael, at Strive, and he said, look, it's been a year since we did the Ask the Agent sort of Q&A episode. Do you want to do another one? And I was like, yeah, actually, fuck yeah, because, I mean, you know, seeing, you know, how your career has progressed in that space over a year has been amazing, and people who didn't get an opportunity to ask a question about how, you know, NRL agents work and, you know, the signing and contracts of players and stuff like that, development of young players and so on. Now's your chance. If you're in the Facebook group, you'll see there'll be an announcement in the group where I've put a call out for questions. It's going to be next Wednesday night, the actual episode, so get your questions in by then. If you're not on the Facebook group, feel free to tweet them to us at TWI League on Twitter, or send an email to business@thisweekinleague.com with your questions. And yeah, look, we'll answer all the questions that we get, basically.
Yep.
And it's a great, I mean, I honestly think it probably will become a yearly tradition, because things happen through the season that people, you know, want clarity on, and why this happened or how this happened and that sort of thing. So it's great to actually, you know, go to the source and get the, get the real answers. Yep. So that will be our final episode of the year though. And so that'll be next Wednesday night. Patrons, our membersodes will be taking place on Sunday evenings going forward, and I wonder if we talk about this in the new merch. A business relationship's come up with myself where we can finally pull the trigger on some merch items that we've kind of been circling around for quite a while, and people have been asking for quite a while. Yeah. Things like American sports, sort of, you know, like we get like a Twill baseball shirt,
so it's just
a Twill NBA, yeah, you know, Twill basketball.
Leave it till we've got the design to launch them.
Yeah, I just really wanted to put out there in the real simple question, like just to make it easy for people in the short term. What do you reckon, baseball or basketball? First up,
old El Paso GIF.
Yeah, well, that's true. We could do both. So there you go. Looks like I'll have some more fucking designs to do after the season winds down. But yeah, we'll be looking at those. And this year, I mean, I know we say it all the time, but I really want to get the membership sorted for next year, late, like this year, you know, like well in advance. So, I mean, so we can actually have them out and, you know, ready to go for the season, rather than sort of starting with the season and getting them out sort of April, May. So, oh, here we go. The chat is saying basketball, NHL. Look, NHL. I didn't hear myself say NHL, but look, I can ask the question. The answer is we can probably do all that sort of thing, but I just don't know which ones. I figure because we're coming into summer, I think people want basketball. Yeah, that's what I would expect to see. However, but yeah. And there's some big news on these ones. When we decide which one it's going to be, there's going to be some big news for our Revelations patrons as well. So, and the other ones, because, I mean, there's one other good thing we got was, you know, how we have that sort of survey at the end of the Twilly voting ballot. And, you know, some suggestions, and there were a couple of dominant suggestions for things that people want in terms of merch. So, well, we can take that offline and talk about it over the off-season or whatever. But there's, for once that question wasn't answered like with fleshlights and dildos and shit. Like, there was actually some valuable contributions made. So and fuck, I had one more thing to get to, and it's just fucking slipped out of my mind. So on that note, thanks for listening. Thanks everybody, and I just remember what it was. It was the winner of the free membership from the Twilly voting. I knew it was, now I need to actually open it up. And what we're going to be doing here is I've got the details of the people who did fill out the appropriate amount of, you know, fields and give us the contact details and stuff like that, and actually went through and filled out the questions that we asked in terms of, yeah, feedback on the show and the things we do on the show and things they'd like to see and stuff like that, which is very, you know, valuable for us, obviously, to make the show better. And so let me just bring up a random number generator. I'm going to throw a random number in there. 21 and Right. And if this number lands on... Okay. We've hit number 116, which I go to that record, and it is... Oh! One of our patrons. And it is Josh.
How good.
So, mate, you've won yourself a free membership for 2022. Contents TBA, as we decide. Congratulations. Thank you for voting in the Twillies. And also,
awesome.
Thank you for going the extra mile and filling out those extra things to help us, you know, make the show better. This year, it was easier to fill out that section because there were a couple of questions that we traditionally ask that we don't really have to ask anymore, like the ones concerning, like, advertisers you want to get on board and stuff like that. I mean, we've been fairly lucky, and now with the network we're on, you know, that sort of stuff comes to us a bit, so we don't have to go out there and seek it as much. Although I didn't tell you this yet, Glennie. I was talking to Jay about it the other day,
this is probably not something we want to chat about.
No, I don't want to talk about it. But I just want to say that there's an advertiser that we have been trying to get since the inception of this show, and I think next year we'll get them.
Don't. I did that fucking Bert Kreischer thing a little while ago, and it fucks me off that I did it. Don't you start doing it too. Oh, here's this fucking thing we're going to talk on a podcast about that a whole bunch of people are listening to, but it's a fucking in-joke, so I can't talk about it. Oh.
Wow, you listen to way more Bert than I do. But yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for voting, everybody. As always, if you want to support the show, head to Apple Podcasts, hit subscribe and then unsubscribe and subscribe and underscribe. Sit there for like an hour and just keep clicking and subscribing on and off for like an hour, and that's really helpful to the show. You can also leave reviews and things like that. Next week, of course, we will be revealing the review winner who's going to get the weed whacker from Manscaped. And patreon.com/twillnation. Great rewards coming, and more great rewards in the future as well for our patrons at the higher levels. So can't wait for those. And do you boys have anything else to add before we pull the pin?
Congratulations to all the winners. What a stellar fucking season! Like you've won a Twilly in the greatest season, won by the greatest team of all time.
Glennie, yeah, have anything valuable to add?
This obnoxious next year.
Did you use Oscar's music him? He did. I mean, he's still talking. It's disrespectful. Yeah,
play him off.
No, I think I've said it all. Appreciate it. I've enjoyed tonight, and congratulations to everyone that won, including me.
Would you like to give any further congratulations to Joey Manu for winning something you didn't win?
Look, I just feel like maybe I needed to impersonate Joey Manu's head knock and memory loss and inability to function properly to start the show. To show the importance of
a lot of people in the chat asking for Glenn stepdad sex dolls.
That's interesting, isn't it?
So maybe in the membership pack next year or in the fucking
Revelations. You say a lot of Patreon, people. It's one.
You can, well, that and fleshlights and a real dad daddy pillow. We might do a Mulder Willy for Glenn. And we can include that in the members pack next year.
It's going to be a pretty small pack.
Well, it's good. Saves on shipping.
I was going to say, it's got to get to Carsten as well. Yeah.
Just send a button. Just get a bunch of button mushrooms, one each.
Yeah.
And now you've given away the joke. Yeah, how hilarious that would have been if we'd have gone, we're going to send you a Glenn Mulder, Willie, and just sent a button mushroom in each one. Except you fucking killed the punchline.
That's what I do.
Right. So on that note, fellas.
We're done.
We're talking like it's the end of the season, but we're not. Ask an agent next week. Make sure you get your questions in. If you have a question for an NRL accredited agent about the workings of how the whole contracts and all that sort of shit works, and you know, development of young players, you know, poaching of juniors, and so on, cunts breaking their contracts, train and trial contracts for BJ Leilua, all that shit. Send us your questions, and we'll do them next week. Until then,
fantastic.
See you later.
See ya
later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.